All right, my great-grandmother, Ray, I remember her living in Compton, and at that time there were very few black people in Compton. The majority of it was whites. And we would go get my great-grandmother and come to Long Beach, and she would want to know whose rig we were traveling to Long Beach in. Cars were a thing that she did not understand because she had always traveled by covered wagon. Now, my grandmother, to get back to my great-great-grandmother, her husband was a teamster, and he drove teams of horses hauling freight, and they would haul freight from the railroad to different areas in this part of the country. A long day's work would be from Los Angeles to Long Beach, or from Los Angeles to some of the farms or settlements in the area. Later, he worked for road building companies, and they called it, it was a type of blacktop in those days that they were running two-lane roads with, building them with mules and horses at that time. My father would tell stories about his granddad, as he became older, going down and buying a glass of nickel beer and eating the free lunch at the local saloon. Now, my grandmother had chickens. It was a farm area in Compton in those days. I would have been about 5 years old. This would have been 1930, approximately. And the red car did go through Compton and on to Los Angeles in those days. My grandmother, Long Beach in 1911, and settled in a house at 921 Alamitas. In those days, the only thing that was in that area was a horse barn and later a little store that was built in that vicinity for the people around there. The majority of the people had gardens and raised farm animals.
What do you mean a horse barn?
This is where the horses were stored or boarded for the community, some for farming and some for doing work on the streets or for hauling freight animals, animals that pulled different types of freight wagons.
So it was a commercial enterprise that boarded horses?
That's correct.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. My grandfather and her were divorced at that time, which was considered a terrible sin of those days, and she was remarried to a man who was a conductor on the Pacific Electric, and he would travel from Long Beach to Los Angeles. That was his tour of duty. And my father said as a little boy that they would ride on the red car with him, and when they would go through the different tree areas that were very highly wooded, he would imagine as a child that that's where the animals were. There was very little habitation along the railroad track in those days. It was much quicker than it was later. Now, my grandmother later lived in this house until death in the 50s, and we watched the streets being widened. As a small child, I can remember the palm trees throughout Long Beach. Long Beach was completely covered with palm trees. Alamitas had palm trees on both sides, and so did Carson. As far as I can remember, the little two-lane road. We, to get back to the family, on my father's side, his father was a horse breaker and a teamster. He drove horses in his earlier life. They came from Ogden, Utah. They sold a team of oxen and a covered wagon in order to take the train trip to this area. They came to Los Angeles, and then eventually my dad and grandmother and her new husband came to Long Beach. And my real grandfather worked in Los Angeles as a teamster, and then later moved out of this area into the Colton area. My great-great-grandfather on my father's side was a Mormon, and they were in Utah. And my great-great-great-grandmother was Grandma Thomas, who was in the Brigham Young train. And they came and settled San Bernardino. The settlement of San Bernardino was made by the Mormons. And this is on my father's side, on his grandmother's side. Now, on my father's mother's side, we have Indian blood in the family, and they came out of Utah. And she was born on an Indian reservation. And she tells the stories of how the Indians would come until they, when she was a small girl. And she would say that the Indians would come and peek through the windows, and they would look to see if the men were there, and if the men were not there, they'd walk in and sit down at the wooden tables and say, "Me hungry." And if the ladies had time, they would fix something to eat for the Indians. And if they didn't have time, they'd say, "Cowboy be home pretty soon." And there would be a silence and a waiting time. And the Indian would say, "Me no scared of cowboy." And they would go ahead about their work, cleaning the dishes or whatever their chores were. And pretty soon the Indian would get up and slowly walk out of the cabin and on down the street. But there were very friendly relations between the people that were living on the reservations and the Indian people at that time. Things were rather hard living in Long Beach in the early years when they first came here, between 1911 and about 1921, until the oil boom came. Sanitation was cesspools in everyone's yard. The sewers were not put in until the majority of the town did not go to sewers until during the division in the 30s, and the WPA people dug up and put the sewers throughout Long Beach. I can remember my father working as an inspector as they were putting the sewers in for the WPA. As a small boy, one of the things that I remembered in the city of Long Beach was the lack of proper storm drains. Every time the rain would come, I literally got boat rides in different sections of town. We would get in a boat and use oars, and we'd roll over to someone's house that we knew, and from one place to the other. There were times when you couldn't get across the flood control. All the bridges would either be washed out, or they were scared of them washing out because of the refuse laying against them. The debris would come down the channel and build up against them, and the bridges were unsafe to cross. I can remember when we would get on the red car and a little street car. We called it the Tooneyville Trolley, on 3rd Street, and ride out towards Willowbrook. And then we would also, there was a red car that traveled in town on 7th Street. Now, these cars would start out at a place called Safaria Junction, which is approximately at the corner of Anaheim and Redondo. The railroad tracks for years, or the PE tracks, went south on Redondo from that point. They have only been removed probably 25 years ago, that these were torn out of the street. They had paved over them and had to go back and tear up the asphalt and dig out the tracks underneath. Now, the red car system in our town was the main means of transportation that I can remember as a small child, except for jitneys. This was a Model T or an early type automobile that would have a sign in the window that would say bus. And they would run up and down the streets and pick you up and take you downtown for a small fee. I cannot remember what the fee was at that time. But as you could readily see, that if they were going one way and there was someone standing on the corner going the other way, they would turn around in the middle of the block and take you the way you wanted to go. So you could wait for a long time on certain corners without anyone coming by. When the Depression hit in Long Beach, Long Beach was not a town that produced a lot of things. And it was felt very strongly, the only people that had secure jobs were people that worked in the oil fields. And so they actually set up soup kitchens. I can remember the soup lines and the soup kitchens throughout the town of Long Beach. And that people would stand in line to get a bowl of soup or a bowl of stew or whatever before they started passing out supplies to different ones. In the early days of my life, I was born in North Long Beach. There were no sidewalks. And most of the houses sat on the back of the lots. And when they put the sidewalks in, I remember they wouldn't let me ride my tricycle on the sidewalks for a week. They covered them up with pieces of burlap and put dirt over it so the concrete would set. And it all had to be mixed, shoveled into a machine by hand, and the machine would mix it, and then they wheelbarrowed it over and poured it. And they didn't just go down the street one day and pour all the sidewalks. They were in our street for several weeks pouring the sidewalk on both sides and the curbs on both sides of the street. The water company in North Long Beach at that time was a private water company owned by the property owners, and all the water pipes were made out of wood. And at various times they would have problems, and they would come around. And if you didn't have any money to pay the assessment, then you would have to work for the water company, go out and work so many days in order to pay your share. And so I remember my father going out and digging and patching pipe on the for the water company, so we would pay our share of it.
How did they make pipe out of wood?
Well, they cut the wood in strips, and then they have metal bands that go around it, and it holds it together. The bands hold it. The wood is beveled, and it just is banded together. And as you can tell, it would rot away, or it would get it. Rodents would dig into it. Sometimes they would fix it with plugs, or they would have to wrap it. They could put a redwood plug in, and the plug would swell. And the water level in those days was very close to the surface. I can remember my father digging a new cesspool before the sewers were put in our street, and the trouble he had with the water level. Consequently, they had to stop people using that water because the water level was so high because of the sanitation conditions, the sewer and the water mixing. And that's why the water company, which was called the Citizen Water Company, by the way, when it first started in Long Beach, I know where there's a cap off one of the early water systems in Long Beach, and it was called the Citizens Water Company in the downtown area. It was something that I discovered one day. I now work for the fire department in Long Beach, and we have a little game we play about who can remember back to fathers. And one of the things that I remember that a lot of people have not remembered is down on the old Pike or the Strand, there was a tunnel that went under Pine Avenue. Now, everyone remembers the tunnel that was east of Pine Avenue, but very, very few people remember the tunnel that was west of Pine Avenue that went underneath Pine Avenue and came up inside of the drugstore, which is still, there's still a drugstore there on the northeast corner of Pine Avenue and Ocean. Now, the tunnel has been blocked off in there. Whether it's been blocked off under the street, I do not know, and filled in. But there was a tunnel, and there used to be a theater in that area that had vaudeville on it, one of the few theaters in Long Beach that had a legitimate vaudeville act in those days. And I can remember going and seeing different people perform. We would go and pay whatever the fee was, which was a small amount, and see one of the very early talkies or one of the late silent films and watch a vaudeville, several vaudeville acts. And it would take up three hours approximately. And after we'd come out, we'd either go to one of the Waffle Houses that were prevalent in town. There were little stores which is all they done was made waffles. And or we would go to a Curry's ice cream place where they made their own cones right there in the window. You could watch them make them. And they had other places in town called Red Hots. And you'd go and buy these large hot dogs that were filled with chili on them. They didn't know what chili dogs were in those days. They were called Red Hots. And there were a chain of them throughout the area. But apparently waffles were a thing that was rather new, because there were several restaurants that was all they done was made waffles. And you could go and have waffles. This was before the Rainbow Pier. I, as a small boy, my grandmother used to take me out on the end of the pier to see the whale bones that were later moved out to the Colorado Lagoon, which are now in storage, and they don't know what to do with. There was an article in the paper here just a while back, not knowing what to do with these whale bones. But at that time, this double-decker pier that went out at the foot of Pine Avenue is where the steamer would dock that went to Catalina. And as a small boy, my father and some of his friends would dive off the pier as a tourist to throw money into the water for them to dive for. And they would dive and get the money out of the water. Long Beach was nothing but a tourist town in those days. People would come here for the winter. It was called Little Iowa. The train, we had a train in those days. It came, it used to come right down California and go down to Ocean Avenue. At Alamitas and Ocean, it would turn and go west to what we call the Los Angeles River now. And in that area, they had a roundhouse where the train would turn around and they would unload the cargo and then it would go back. And I can remember when I was at my grandmother's house at 10th and Alamitas, running up to the corner and looking down the street, watching the train come down. There was also a depot at Alamitas, I believe, between 2nd and 1st, and it was on the east side of the street. Later there was the Alamitas Playhouse, and they would hold different types of plays and what have you in this old building. And it was torn down approximately 25 to 30 years ago. This was torn down. Another thing I remember as a child is the Long Beach Airport, and at that time, Duarte Field was at the corner of Willow and American, which is Long Beach Boulevard now. Part of that old hangar was still there in 1950, 1857. The last of that was torn down then. But this is where the original field was. And we flew out of there. When I was very small, we went up for a ride in a open cockpit aircraft and a biplane, a double-winged airplane, and flew up and around and come back down. I can remember that was quite an experience for a small child in those days. Talking about transportation, in 1912, my father said that there was a store in their area, and the man who owned the store had the first car that he had ever seen, and it was a Maxwell. And this man gave him a ride in it, and what a thrill it was for him to ride in an automobile. And this was the first car that he can ever remember seeing or riding in. It was 1912 in the city of Long Beach. And I'm sure that there were cars around at that time, a few of them, but apparently not too many. Yeah, I was born at 5918 California, and at that time, that was considered Virginia City. The street was apparently paved, but there were no curbs or gutters, no sidewalks, as I've said before. Very sparsely built. It was Long Beach. At that time had the North Long Beach settlement, and then there was nothing between North Long Beach and the downtown area. It was much later before they started to build what they call California Heights, or the middle section of Long Beach, before they connected the two together. We had a bus system in Long Beach called the Lang Bus System. We could ride anywhere in town for a nickel or transfer anywhere. Later, the bus went to Seal Beach, and we could, for a nickel, you could ride from North Long Beach to Seal Beach, transfer all around.
What did North Long Beach look like then? I mean, you said there was a North Long Beach settlement.
There was a drugstore. The pharmacist was Walters, was the pharmacist's name. We had a few small markets, and they just built a large market. Would be maybe 100 by 100 feet before the earthquake. And when the earthquake hit, North Long Beach, that section of North Long Beach was hit rather hard. The roof to the store fell in. The pharmacy, collapsed. And I was living in North Long Beach at the time of the earthquake. You could actually hear those buildings, which were at South Street and Atlantic Avenue, and we lived in the 5900 block in California, which was approximately 4 blocks away, and you could hear the buildings falling, sections of the buildings. People think of the earthquake hitting. Well, the earthquake, not only did you have the initial shock, but the after tremors are very severe. And there were hundreds of aftershocks, not just one or two or three, but for at least a year we had severe aftershocks. And for a long time, I would say maybe 3 or 4 years, we had numerous tremors as the earth would settle. One of the funny things that happened to us of the earthquake, we lived in a wooden house with a slab floor. The house was not damaged because of the type of construction, but we were sitting down to dinner to eat, and my place at the dinner table was back in the corner. My uncle lived with us. And at that time, in 1933, the Japanese and the Chinese were at war. And people were concerned about the war. The only way that we knew about anything was either through the newspaper or over the radio. And the radios were rather primitive at that time. We would gather around the radio like people used to gather around early television and listen to the news and to the different commentators. Anyway, when the earthquake hit, the first thing my mother said was, "The Japanese have hit." And they always tell you that women or children are first. Well, I was the first one to the back door, and the family proceeded to run over the top of me and got out away from the house. And after they'd gotten out away from the house, then they turned and were concerned about what had happened to me. But we find that people want to survive. And so I was in the safest place I could have been, in the doorway, but no one knew that. And it was a strange thing trying to walk. And I can remember literally watching the ground roll. North Long Beach was still not built up. There were several vacant lots in every block. I cannot remember any blocks being completely built up in North Long Beach. The Lachelle Theater was at the corner of Long Beach Boulevard and Market Street. I remember going and seeing a movie about Hell's Angels, and that was a terrible thing to say hell then. They thought about banning the movie, and they didn't know whether people ought to go see it, and all these things because the word hell had been used. North Long Beach had no hospitals. The doctor who delivered me and removed my tonsils at a later time had offices upstairs in the Lachelle Theater, and their names were Clough. And they were young doctors who had just started practicing when I was born. I was born at home. There were two hospitals in Long Beach at that time, the community hospital and the old Seaside Hospital. Births at the time I was born were recorded, but the early births in Long Beach were written down in a ledger book, as you would keep a budget in. And when the doctor would get down near City Hall, he would go in and write in this book who had been born and on what day and who the parents were. I think this book would be available to anyone who wanted to see it at the health department. I've seen it several times when we've inspected the place. Getting back to what North Long Beach looked like, the buses in those days all went over to Long Beach Boulevard and went down, or there was one bus that went down Orange Avenue. But the Atlantic Avenue bus, there was no Atlantic Avenue bus. There was no bus that went down Cherry in those days. You either went down Orange or you went down Long Beach Boulevard, which was called American in those days. And all the buses would stop on Pine Avenue. Everything went to Pine Avenue. If you wanted a transfer, you could go downtown, get a transfer. They would give you a little transfer slip, and you would get on the other bus. And he would take that, and that was good for the fare, and you could ride out to the other end of town. As a young child, I can remember the fire station, which would be fire station number 11, at the corner of Market and Dairy. That was the only one we had in those days in the North Long Beach area. Now, there was fire station number 9 was at Virginia and Roosevelt, but fire station number 12, which was built, could not be manned because of the Depression. And the ladies would sew in there, make clothes in those days to be given away during the Depression. This gave the ladies something to do in return for their labor. They were given food and clothing.
And that's the one on Gundry?
That's the one at 65th and Gundry. For, I guess it was two or three years before they put a fire engine and put any men in there in those days. And in those days, the firemen worked 72 hours a week.
In what kind of shift?
They would work 24 on and 24 off. Some of the men worked 48. Some of the stations, they would work 12-hour shifts. They had two shifts. You would work days all 1 week and nights all the next week. And you'd work 12 hours during that time. And then they went to the 24-hour shifts to where the men could get home every other day. But you would work 72 hours and 84 hours. There were some 84-hour shifts in those days. The last horse driven vehicles in the city of Long Beach would have been about 1925. I worked with a man on the fire department who came to work for the city in 1926, and he said that the horses had just been retired before he came to work there.
Was there
a bank in North Long Beach when you were a kid? I believe there was a bank over on Long Beach Boulevard and Market Street in that vicinity. I believe that was the only bank. There was a bakery. I remember two bakeries being in North Long Beach. One of them was on Atlantic Avenue, south of South Street. There were several dairies out there. There was a place called Johnson Gardens over on Cherry. They raised water lilies. It seemed like they had a lot of carp or large goldfish. And just south of that was a goat farm. And they raised goats. That was around Harding and Cherry. For a short time, I lived on Harding Street, east of Cherry. We lived in the old ranch house that had survived. It was built up in that area. Almost all of the lots were built up there with newer homes, but this was the original home in that area that we rented. And we had a garden, and we raised chickens and rabbits, and we had a goat that I used to take out and stake to the north of us, because north of Poppy Street, there was nothing in those days. There was no buildings of any type from there up to Artesia, and very little the other side of Artesia. And then the only thing that was in that vicinity was the Richfield Refinery, and they had a large tank farm there at that time. I cannot remember when the tank farm wasn't there in North Long Beach. I can remember that most of the streets in North Long Beach in those days had large dirt gutters on both sides of them for the water to rush down. We had a severe winter around 1937 where the water rushed and rushed and rushed down the streets. It done a lot of damage because of improper draining. The flood control in those days was not lined the debris was not kept out of it, and the wooden bridges, one would collapse and float downstream and back up against the next bridge, and it in turn would collapse. And it was the domino theory. And after we lost all the bridges in the winter of 37-38, they started constructing concrete bridges across. And if you'll notice, the majority of the bridges that go across the channel were built in 39-40-41. There was a little plaque on them. And the majority of those were built either by the WPA or the United States Engineering Department. And the United States Engineering Department hired most of their help right out of the WPA people. They went to them and found out who could do this and who could do that. Now, in the early days of the WPA, we had gardens throughout the whole North Long Beach area. They would take there were a lot of fields, vacant fields, and they would go in and plow up the fields and plant gardens and take people that were unemployed and put them to work growing food. But I can remember they also had to have people to be night watchmen there to keep the people who were not working from stealing the food. Although the food was given away, the people were still stealing the food that was there. The North Long Beach area had most of the streets were paved with asphalt except for Long Beach Boulevard and Market Street. And I can remember them being different because they were, you would bump as you would ride along on them, and they were concrete streets. Now, as I look back and see the curbs that are still left that were of the early curbs, in those days they put steel bands around the curbs. They thought that it was necessary to put a steel band whenever they put a curb in. And down through the years, these would come loose and pop. And there's still two or three places around town where you can see where the old steel bands that were on the concrete curbs were in town. And there may even be one or two that are still in the concrete. Well, before the Depression, he was a salesman, and he sold sewing machines as a young child. He was selling sewing machines for the White Sewing Machine Company before they went broke, and then he sold for the Singer Company. Now, when he was first married, he was in the landscaping business in the city of Long Beach. This was about the time the oil boom came, and money was plentiful, and my father was a small man of stature, and he had two or three large men that worked for him, and they did landscaping. They would go out and landscape the homes along Ocean Avenue. One of the things that I didn't touch on was the movie industry that was in Long Beach. Fatty Arbuckle and some of the other early silent screen stars started the movie industry in Long Beach, not in Hollywood. And the movies were taken in the Long Beach area. My father had a dog that was, according to him, was a especially smart dog that would do a lot of tricks that they movie people stole. Someone stole it, not necessarily the movie people, but anyway, the dog started appearing in short movies, and it was his dog doing all these tricks, and he could never get his dog back. As the homes were built along Ocean Avenue, my father and several of the other people were hired to landscape them. Money was no object in those days. The palatial homes were, the luxury was much finer than what it is now in comparison. The people that built those homes there, money was no object.
Were they people who had money from the oil
business? Some of the people were oil people, and some of the people were the people from the movie industry. But the majority of the people who built in the 20s were people that had made money in the oil business. The concrete from the homes were hauled, a lot of it was hauled in by mules, delivered. Building materials was delivered by mules instead of by trucks, even in the 20s. The early days of the oil strike, mules and horses were used to haul lumber for the rig builders. All of the oil wells were built out of wood. The derricks were wooden derricks, and each oil well had its own derrick. They didn't think they could drill two holes with one oil rig. Each one had its own pump house. Everything was done there. I talked to a man today that came to Long Beach for the oil boom, and he said at that time that oil was being sold for 15 cents a barrel as it came out of the ground.
Did your father remain in the landscaping business?
He remained in the landscaping business until after he moved to North Long Beach, and they built the home in North Long Beach. And then they went into the business of making artificial flowers and selling them to the movie industry in Culver City at that time. They had to have artificial flowers because the real flowers could not stand the hot lights. And they were making them and selling them for a good number of years. And then they started making artificial flowers with machinery, because there became quite a market for it in those days. And they were out of business, and this is when he went into selling sewing machines. And after the Depression and jobs became more plentiful, he, as I said, he worked on putting in the sewers, worked for the WPA. And I can remember him working for the United States Engineering Department when they dug Hamilton Bowl. And this was in the 30s. They went in and dug this. And every time it would rain, well, that would completely fill up with water. It's only been in the last few years that they've fixed a system to where they can keep the water pumped out of there. And if the pumps would not work, as we've had in the past year, several inches of rain in Long Beach, that area would still be flooded. There's a natural hole there. And I can remember right after they built that the water would come up over onto the Walnut Street there, and you couldn't drive up and down Walnut because they couldn't pump it out as fast as it ran in there.
Did he continue with the engineers?
No, he left them and went to work. During the war, he worked for the shipyards. He worked for Bethlehem Steel as a machinist. He had had training in machine work somewhere. I don't know where he received his training. And so he became a ship's machinist and worked for them until his time of retirement.
Did Bethlehem Steel themselves have ships, or?
Yeah, during the war, they produced different types of ships for the military. Not just the Navy, but just for the war effort. They built different cargo ships, which were used to transport men and supplies.
Did he ever talk about strikes that were during the war in the shipyard?
As I can remember it, there weren't any strikes during that period of time in the shipyards. This was all controlled by the government. The wages were frozen. The profit was supposed to have been controlled. The reason I say